Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender. And there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through.
Hello, folks, and thank you once again for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the Growing Conservative Conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find us on the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com and join our Twitter team. And you can see us under the hashtag of PJNet. I'm sure there are those of you out there familiar with that hashtag on Twitter. And yes, that is us. So check it out at www.patriotjournalist.com. And also check out the Bard's Logic website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. We've got some good links there. I do have a little bit of updating to do, but also check out our Give page where we have some really great charities on there, as well as some political activism that needs to be supported. So tonight, as you know, we are going to be talking about Common Core and the federal intrusion in our education system. And if you would like to chime into the show tonight to talk with me, the host, or our panelists, and, of course, other audience members, you can reach us here at 347-945-7428 to join our roundtable discussion. So if you call in, and, of course, you're respectful to the host and the guests, panelists, and, of course, other audience members, we'll keep your mic open. So, of course, as always, callers and chat participation are welcome, and so you can talk with us. And tonight, as I said, we will be discussing Common Core, and there are states that are rallying, as well as some representatives, against the federal intrusion into our education system. So call in and tell us of you and your state's fight for your state's sovereignty in educating your children. Listen in to hear what other states such as Ohio and Arizona are doing to uphold their 10th Amendment rights. Of course, it's more interesting in Arizona's case, as we'll talk about later. And, of course, we have to say that citizens must raise their voices and act because the time to act is now. And, of course, Bard's Logic is the grassroots we the people show. Now, tonight I'll start off by what is going on in Ohio from the Tea Party. And they have sent me something here that I will read for the audience, what's going on here in Ohio. And it says, hot off the press, the Anderson Republican Central Committee last week rejected Common Core standards in Ohio and adopted the RNC resolution concerning Common Core. On April 12, 2013, the Republican National Committee adopted the resolution, and we will read that in a little bit, condemning the federal intrusion and takeover of our local public schools. In January 2014, the resolution was adopted by the Hamilton County Republican Party. Fortunately for Ohioans, Representative Andy Thompson has drafted House Bill 237, which calls for the full repeal of Common Core standards in Ohio and its waiting advancement. And it continues, says, curiously, last week, Representative Stoutberg introduced a bill that would halt Ohio's plans to give K through 12 students new Common Core tests next year. Representative Stockford's bill is disingenuous as does nothing to remedy the actual concerns of parents, grandparents, core constituents. Liberty group leaders met with him over a year ago to explain the research we had done into the authors of CCS and manner in which the CCS were so steadily slipped into the education system, and we forewarned him of what we saw coming. Again, in May 2013, Ohio 27 voters sat down with Representative Stockburg, asking to fully repeal Common Core standards in Ohio. He now offers the toothless legislation that fails to address the issue at hand with Common Core standards. The federal takeover of education and the loss of state sovereignty, parental rights, and local school districts, control over assessments, and ultimately curriculum, which off the article a little bit, which I think is most important, is the control of the curriculum. Ohio 27 voters also asked Republican Stockburg months ago to co-sponsor Representative Thomas House Bill 237. Yet we have received a reply. It appears that the upcoming primary, of course, to talk about elections, may be the impetus for this newly introduced bill, and again, re-election is what motivates his concern. Additionally, his bill puts the power of the assessment approval in the hands of the controlling board. How did that work out, of course, for Ohioans with the Medicaid expansion? What they're referring to is our not-so-conservative governor here, Mr. Kasich, who expanded Medicare here. I'm sorry, Medicaid here in Ohio. So, excuse me, we'll have to be rallying against him when it comes to the primaries, which we're looking to get the guest here on the show of someone who is going against Kasich in a primary for governor here in Ohio for the Republican Party. It says, continue to the article, it says, his bill merely plucks off the dandelion bloom, leaving the firmly rooted plant intact to choke and destroy our garden of liberty. Again, Ohio 27 constituents went full repeal bill of House, full repeal bill, House Bill 237. It does not get more elementary than that. And so that is what's going on in Ohio. Now, in contrast, and maybe after we go through the article here about what Jan Brewer is doing, it doesn't sound like it kind of surprises me with Governor Brewer, what she has going over there, is that it looks like she's trying to put a soft edge, or a soft corner, I should say, on Common Core there by just renaming it without really doing anything with it, but that remains to be seen. And, of course, if anyone has any information on the contrary there, just give us a call here on the show. And so, he says, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer lays out agenda for lawmakers, includes Common Core and child welfare. Phoenix, Arizona lawmakers are due to report to the state capitol on Monday, and this was, so they're probably already there because this article is back in January. And their agenda is for the 2014 legislative session, including establishing a spending budget, overhauling a scandal-plagued child welfare agency, and considering whether to repeal a sweeping election law. And we'll kind of scroll down and skip a bunch of parts until they start going to Common Core. And it brings it to this. Here's a detailed look at the issues. Education. The governor will be tasked with boosting school and university funding, but a tricky battle will be getting the legislature to provide funding to implement the new Common Core standards. Many lawmakers have reported hearing from constituents who are worried about the education benchmark that the state adopted in 2010. Common Core is a set of new standards that refocuses learning on a comprehensive, in this state's real-life example. They are designed to better prepare students for college and the job market. Obviously, it sounds like the people for this article support the Common Core. Continues, the standards have been increasingly attacked by conservative Republican critics who call them a poorly conceived, federally driven, which is the case, federally driven, efforts that usurps states' rights. So it's 45, and this is amazing, folks. Now, remember, a lot of these states have Republican governors. 45 states and the District of Columbia have adopted these standards, which were developed by the states, led by governors and education leaders. Brewer renamed the program, Arizona's College and Career Ready Standards in September, and it failed, in September in a failed effort to refuse the furor. Common Core is a strange word to me, Brewer said, explaining the name change. The bottom line is, she said, and it sounds like she supports by the statement that, oh, I clicked out of the article. I'm sorry, folks. Let me get back to that. There we go. I apologize for that. So the bottom is, she said, we want our children to have a college education or a career, ready to get those good jobs and make a living wage. And we can't do that unless we are prepared in our schools. That's a quote. Now, maybe if, since this article is supporting Common Core, that quote may have been taken out of context, but, you know, we'll have to delve deeper into that. Says, it is not clear how much money would need to be added to accommodate the testing the programs requires, but the fight might be a chance for her to rebuild the coalition of Democrats and Republicans who approved Medicaid expansion last year. And it looks like she's kind of following in the footsteps of Kasich here in Ohio. Standards themselves were adopted by the State Board of Education in 2010. Ms. Brewer will also continue her push for performance funding for schools trying to fund and teachers pay for results. Now, as check in here on Facebook. Okay, and as promised, folks, I will give the resolution that I stated earlier that was here in Ohio. And this is a resolution even back in April of last year. It says, from the National Republican Committee, resolution concerning Common Core education standards. It has a lot of legalese, folks, but bear with me, but I think it is important to get it out there. It says, whereas the Common Core state standards, or CCSS, are a set of academic standards promoted and supported by two private membership organizations, the National Governors Association, and the Council of Chief State of School Officers as a method of conforming American students to uniform, one-size-fits-all achievement goals to make them more competitive in the global marketplace. Of course, we're going to hear a lot of reasons for Common Core that I believe folks would think, well, yeah, okay, that makes sense. That sounds like that makes sense. But of course, they're going to make it sound good to, of course, bring people on board. And let's go as whereas the NGA, which is the National Governors Association, and the Council of Chief State School Officers received tens of millions of dollars from private and third parties to advocate for and develop the CCS strategy, subsequently created the CCSS through a process that was not subject to any Freedom of Information Acts or other sunshine laws and never piloted by the CCSS. And whereas even through federal law prohibits the federalizing of curriculum, the Obama administration accepted the CCSS plan and used 2009 stimulus bill money to reward the states that were most committed to the president's CCSS agenda, but they failed to give states, their legislatures, and citizens time to evaluate the CCSS before having to commit them. And whereas the NGAA and CCSSO, in concert with the same corporate developing the CCSS assessments, has created new textbooks, digital media, and other teaching materials aligned to the standards which must be purchased and adopted by the local school districts in order that students may effectively complete on CCSS assessments. Okay, and I just got a message there. Okay, we have some folks on the line who are listening in, but if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial, and we'll get you in there. So it will be great to hear from you folks, but I will continue on with the resolution that I promised that I would read to the folks. And then I'll make, of course, some commentary. And one thing it's important to point out is that, you know, the millions of dollars from the private third parties to advocate for and develop the Common Core, and, of course, also the federalizing of curriculum. And, of course, used the, and this is big, folks, the 2009 stimulus bill in order to get passed. So basically what the federal government has done yet again is to use the power of the purse to coerce the states by saying this: if you want this federal money that we've pretty much got from your states and from federal taxes from people from your state, if you want your money back, you have to adopt these plans for us to give you the money towards your education system. So, of course, in a way, they are blackmailing the states in order for them to get their money back. At least that's how I see it at this time. So, continuing back, it says, whereas the CCSS program includes federally funded testing and the collection and sharing of massive amounts of personal student and teacher data, and as whereas the CCSS effectively removes educational choice and competition, and there goes liberty, folks, since all schools and all districts must use Common Core assessments based on the Common Core standards to allow all students to advance in the school system and to advance to higher education pursuits, therefore, be it resolved that the Republican National Committee, as stated in the 2012 Republican Party platform, does not believe in a one-size-fits-all approach. And I'm going to go off there for a minute. And it never should be. I mean, that's why we have the states in order to do the grand experiments to see what works best. And then if another state would like to copy what another state is doing because something is working in that state, then that is a better way through trial and error to find out what the best will be, you know, the best system will be for pretty much anything, in education included. Continue on. It says, based on Common Core standards, allows all students to advance and the school system, okay, I already read that part. The Republican National Committee, as stated in 2012, Republican platform, does not believe in a one-size-fits-all approach in education and supports providing broad educational choices to parents and children at the state and local level, renewing American values to build healthy families, great schools and neighborhoods, and you get the page number, so that's nothing for here, which is based on a free market approach to education for students to achieve individual excellence and be it further resolved. The Republican National Committee recognizes the CCSS for what it is, an inappropriate overreach to standardize and control the education of our children so they will conform to the preconceived normal. And be it further resolved that the Republican National Committee rejects the collection of personal student data for any non-educational purpose without the prior written consent of an adult student or child student's parent, and it rejects the sharing of such personal data without the prior written consent of an adult student or child student's parent with any person or entity other than school or education agency which in their state. And it be it finally resolved that, the 2012 Republican Party platform specifically states the need to repeal the numerous federal regulations which interfere with state and local control of public schools, renewing America's value to build healthy families, great schools, and safe neighborhoods. and therefore the Republican National Committee rejects the CCS's plan, which creates and fits the country with a nationwide straitjacket on academic freedom and achievement. And so that's what it's, you know, starting to become all about, is the control of education. They're already trying to control health care through Obamacare. Now they're trying to control, you know, what our children learn. And, you know, that's Lewinsky, you know, roles, you know, of, you know, pretty much taking over. So there we have it. That's what they're doing. And so, you know, I want to hear more about what's going on with Jan Brewer. And so I'd like to, you know, if anyone has any more information on that. It just seems like she was very weak just renaming it, you know, renaming what they're calling Common Core there. It just doesn't make sense to me without actually trying to do something about it. And I know that the – I'm looking here at the hashtag Common Core. For those of you who are Patriot Journalist members or those who are on Twitter, check it out on all the different posts. You can also get some information here. That's one of the things I like to put out to folks here on Bard's Logic, is to get them information. And that is to show them places they can go to find out and get more about Common Core. And that's by going to Twitter and checking out the Common Core hashtag. And just basically, you know, hashtag, you know, Common Core is one word. And check out what other folks have there. And they're, you know, giving articles and information and things of that nature. So one of those is, let's see, and this is from Senator Mike Lee, and this is getting a lot of hits there on Twitter. It says, resolution denouncing the president's coercion of states into adopting Common Core standards, Common States Core standards. And that's what I mentioned earlier about coercion. By taking the money from the states into the federal government through taxation, then they're able to pretty much hijack and use coercion of the states in order to, you know, hey, look, you know, we've got these funds that we know that you need because, well, we took them from you, and in order for you to get them back, we have to, you know, or you have to pretty much follow, you know, our dictates and what you do. So basically, once again, it's the federal government trying to take over the states' rights. And one day, as I talked to, you know, some of my friends and panelists here on the show, that one day we're going to definitely have to have a series of shows talking about state rights, but that's for another time. But this is something published by Senator Mike Lee, so check it out. It's so Senator, okay, the article starts, Senator Lee adds his name to a resolution sponsored by Senator Graham, which I'm kind of surprised to hear, but Graham, just especially the way he's been acting lately, that strongly supports the restoration and protection of states' authority and flexibility in establishing and defining challenging student academic standards and assessments, and strongly denounces the president's coercion of states into adopting Common Core state standards by conferring preferences in federal grants, as we said earlier, money from the federal government. Okay, that's funny. The article just ends with that and then the resolution. Sorry, just checking something out there, folks. Excuse me. Okay, I just got the technical message here. I'm going to play some music here for you folks, and then I will come back shortly. So enjoy this music from Aubrey Ashburn, and I will be back shortly. Thank you. folks, hopefully that was time enough for us to fix if there are any kind of difficulties here. So if you'd like to chime in tonight, just call in at 347-945-7428. If you'd like to come into the discussion. And I just sent an article here. We got all kinds of articles tonight. But we do have an article here that I was just given from one of our panelists, Dan Gray. I appreciate it. He would not be able to make it in with us tonight, but he was kind enough to provide me with an article that he wrote. And let's get here. So it's, this is from Pennsylvania, where he is from. Excuse me for my voice this evening, folks, if it starts cracking. I apologize. That's if you just bear with me. It says, Pennsylvania fast-tracked Common Core curriculum implementation will slow down educational advancements. It says, on Tuesday, August 20th, he wrote this back in August of 2013. So I attended a meeting of concerned East Pennsylvania Taxpayers Association concerning sweeping new controversial academic standards commonly known as Common Core. It was rare and fortunate that this event was only a few miles from where I work. Activism takes action, and action takes time, a commodity we all have too little of. I got off work at 5 p.m. and drove to the fire company number one in Pennsylvania. The event wasn't scheduled to start until 7 p.m., so I waited and watched and spoke with folks as they arrived. First were the seniors, and economical order cars well maintained. They expressed concern for their grandchildren and were concerned to learn if coming generations would have the same or better opportunities than they themselves have received. This is their last fight for a future they will never see. Next, the 30s and 40-somethings and BMWs and beaters, Hyundais and Harleys, pickups and many minivans. They were fired up, full of frustration at the failure of our schools to educate, fearful of how Common Core would make things even worse. Some brought their older children. And finally, the recent grads, anticipating to learn facts that reinforced their own experience, rebels with a clue, ready for a fight. Together, we completely failed the fire company's social hall. Many told me they became aware of this issue and were at the night's meeting by listening to Bobby Gunther Walsh morning show on WAEB AM talk radio. And they say AM radio is dead. Anyway, so the feature speaker was Peg Luskic, whose dynamic presentation was an eye-opener to say the least. In the interest of full disclosure, this writer is a registered member of the Constitution Party from a family filled with teachers. Interesting. Also in attendance with local Pennsylvania State Representative Ryan McKenzie, who gave a legislative update, explained that while former Governor Ed Rendell instituted these programs without the advice and consent of the legislature, our representatives did control the power of the purse and could, at a bare minimum, slow the process or even the people rise up and make them. And that's a very important point, folks, about the people we have to rise up and make our representatives do what's best for the people. East Pennsylvania school board members voted 6-3 not to attend. A number of parents and CDPTA member Janice Bowman informed me that their children's teachers were warned, I'm going to repeat this, that their children's teachers were warned by the district's administration not to show up. Think about that, folks. I was unable to confirm these threats and will not disclose the name of the teachers. East Pennsylvania School District Superintendent Thomas Seidelberger did not return my calls as of this writing. Luxick was a teacher, and I can well imagine how demanding her classes must have been. The amount of detailed information provided in a few short hours was daunting to even this information junkie. Yet none of the 100-plus crowd left early, checked their cell phones, or even shifted in their chairs. So much vital detail was presented in such a ruthlessly logical and passionately forceful manner that it would take too many words to describe in this article. And she did it, for the most part, using facts gleaned from the Common Core's own websites, along with openly available Federal Department of Education and Pennsylvania documentation. She also showed us internal Pennsylvania Commonwealth documents some whistleblowers leaked to her. For those who agree with me that the devil's in the details, that the large print giveth and the small print taketh away. Mrs. Lucas' entire presentation is available in two parts on YouTube. And I'll check that out. And if they're not too long, perhaps we can play them tonight. We shall see. There are the main points I took away with me. Under Common Core, all children are to be tracked from birth through several years past college age. Pennsylvania already has this tracking in place since 2007. Individual details contained in the database include academics, family financial information, socioeconomic demographics, and personal health records. Access is to be granted to various stakeholders, including myriad government agencies and private vendors. Common Core is the product of private corporations, including the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which insists on slavish adherence if you want their money, and Common Core, Inc., which developed actually owns the entire Common Core program. An aptly named National Governors Associate, this is key, is a private concern that is pushing this forward agenda. Common Core developers and proponents acknowledge that the pace of learning will be much slower. It diminishes literature, which puts a human face on ideas, to a mere 30%. All discussion and testing is text-based, with no discussion of alternative or opposing ideas permitted. GED tests, private and parochial educations, and the college boards are either now or soon will be Common Core compliant. Rather than providing and inspiring, Common Core diminishes individualism and local initiative, furthering the dumbing down of America. We already know where we're headed with that, folks. I mean, how many times have we, watched, on the street interviews where, you just ask some of the people out there the most simplest questions and they don't know the answer to them. But they know more about what's going on in Hollywood than what's actually going on in the American legislatures now. But anyway, back to the article. Imposing a one-fits-all national K-12 standard guarantees universal mediocrity. Under Common Core, mediocrity is acceptable. New testing standards allow additional time, provide nebulous results, and consider 33% as passing, 60% as proficient. Repeat that. 30% as passing. Now, when, folks, is the last time you got a 33% on the test and considered to pass it? I know even at my daughter's school, not for these types of tests, but at least when you take the test at school, a 69 is a failing grade. But here, a 60, proficient. Common Core curriculum is thoroughly progressive, pushing indoctrination on our kids. Green is good, which I have to admit I agree with green is groom. green is good because, folks who listen to us regularly do know that I am an environmentalist, but I consider myself a conservative environmentalist, and that's something we can talk about later. So global warming is real, and, of course, we heard Obama just state that, and we pointed that out on our last show about the State of the Union address that he said it is a fact that global warming is real. And then it goes, pornography and homosexuality are desirable. Islamic terrorism is understandable. Through Common Core, it seems to have sprung up out of nowhere. It is the child of no child left behind, with its impossible to meet results of 100% knowledge in all academic areas for all children. No child left behind is the stick that threatens school closing, mass firings, and withholding federal Title I education money for not meeting goals. Increased federal grant funding is the carrot, and we mentioned that earlier. during the Bush administration, NCLB, the fine-sounding failure, was the precursor to the provisions under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act that funneled billions to states, we talked about this a little bit ago, provided they agreed to implement all the provisions now known as Common Core. Pennsylvania has already received billions and is effectively hooked, committed to Common Core. And maybe that's what's going on with Janet Brewer there over in Arizona. In jeopardy of repayment if dropped, the billions of dollars provided, and as I said earlier, 45 states, including and the District of Columbia, have already adopted Common Core. So now we know why. The billions of dollars provided are not sufficient to pay for all the increased costs that accompany Common Core. Local school districts, already strapped for cash, will be forced to pick up the tab for this unfunded mandate, guaranteeing further diminishing of excellence as money dries up. And I've seen, even in, around here in my hometown, the results of that, because we are constantly getting school levies, and I'm sure folks are experiencing this in their homes, their localities as well, and where they're just seeing school levy after school levy after school levy, continually needing to be passed where the schools are asking for more money. So we're seeing that over and over again. It says, despite state protestations that the new standards or the state's comparison of documents show nearly word-for-word alignment with federal ones, the state says adoption is voluntary. The Fair Federal Grant application acknowledges it's mandatory. Only 15% of total curriculum can be added to mandated Common Core programs to mesh with state laws. None of Common Core can be dropped. Pennsylvania has already agreed to a fast track that will guarantee implementation of, in parentheses, still secret measures before the end of summer 2013, which, of course, has already passed. According to an already signed memorandum of understanding, once Common Core money is accepted, there is no possibility of opting out. As Representative McKenzie says, in politics, no idea is dead unless the other side gives up. Through our would-be masters slyly slipped Common Core upon us and have almost sealed the deal, it's still not too late. So I'm going to check here and make sure that we are still doing well with our audio. So let me just go ahead and play one more song here for you folks, and then we will be back shortly. Thank you very much, and we'll see you in a few minutes. Okay, folks, looks like we may have that cleared up. So at this time, I will be bringing in one of our dear friends and panelists here on Bard's Logic, and that is Kelly Mordecai, who's also author and has the website of the same name of the Hidden Fourth Branch, and that is Kelly Mordecai. So thank you very much, Kelly, for coming into the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Robert. My microphone's not so good, so I kind of have to yell. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just the microphone. What you're telling me is Bill Gates set this up, and then to get funding by the feds, the states have to adopt it. But the reality is once it's set up, the states will continue to have to use it. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it sounds like that once they accept the money, that there's no way that they can opt out. And I mean, that's kind of the same way what's going on here, and in Cincinnati, is that they accepted some funding for the streetcar that's going here, this light rail, which, you know, I've got mixed thoughts on that because, you know, if they could find a way to pay for it, I think it'd be a good thing. But it looks like it may be a money pit here. But and then, of course, we had a whole election here in Cincinnati that was pretty much surrounded. I mean, the mayoral race here was pretty much surrounded by, the streetcar. And actually, the mayor, who said he was opposed to it, even though he was a Democrat, there was actually two Democrats running for mayor. There wasn't any Republican opposition or any other party for that matter. But he ran on opposing the streetcar. But what happened is it looks like the streetcar is going to go as planned, which I knew it was just giving lip service so we can get elected. But it looks like it's going to go as planned because they already accepted federal money, so now they got to try to find a way to make it work because, of course, once you accept that federal money, it's very hard, if not impossible, to go back. And it looks like that's the case with this as well.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to compete with the money printing machine in D.C.
Well, yeah, and the thing that kind of gets you is that, you know, that's not really, you know, that's not the federal money, federal government's money. I mean, that's the people from the states.
Yeah, the power of the purse is very scary.
Their own money back.
Yeah, the power of the purse is very scary.
So, what you've been up to, Kelly? We last week we were talking about the State of the Union address, and I was doing my multitasking as I do, sending another message here.
The State of the Union? The State of the Union doesn't smell very good. It makes my eyes burn.
Yeah, for folks who haven't heard that yet, just go ahead and check out last week's. It's in the archive. It's all shows here are, archive. But we covered the State of the Union address, and it was a very interesting conversation. We had some audio clips and things of that nature. So,
State of the Union. Stinks. Anyway, I was just at a water users meeting. A bunch of ranchers were pretty upset that we're having dams removed in 2020, and it was kind of a town hall meeting. It was packed, and of course, you know, to get the dams removed, junk science was used, and there was a whistleblower that said, hey, you know, I did an independent evaluation of all the factors and the EIR and everything else, and this guy blew a whistle. Well, Ken Salazar fired him. It's like, yeah, it's junk science, but it's the enviros and other stuff. They're even charging all the ratepayers Pacific Power. They got the hydroelectric dam. They're charging the residential everybody to raise the money to remove the dams. It's like, really? I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore. It's so frustrating. It's just some local issues here, but it was packed. A lot of locals are just pretty upset with this stuff. There's some people that are going to go to jail for this scenario. But anyway, that's just kind of where I was at, why I couldn't make it on time. Just some local issues.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I'm just, you know, going through another article here where it seems like there's a number of states who are renaming Common Core, which, I mean, making it sound better, is, as I said, 45 states have accepted it. But renaming it because it's getting so much controversy and so much opposition now that I guess they feel like if they rename it that somehow that's going to fool folks or pull the wool over their eyes and trying to get them to think that it's something else. It's just preposterous.
Well, I think it's real interesting that it'll be really helpful for parents because the grading will be done online. They can do their homework, and the computer will check their homework. You know, sneak in a few leftist socialist ideas, and the parents won't even know about it or whatever. political agenda sneaking into the kids' minds and the parents. I mean, it's too much potential. It's disgusting, but I can't believe 45 states have basically approved this.
Yeah, and if they accept that money, it sounds like they're not going to be able to get back, you know, come back from it. But we've seen the federal government act this way before, you know, in, you know, to try to get the states to do, you know, do something. And then, look at, you know, what they've had here for, you know, Medicaid expansion, you know, in our states, you know, that they're expanding that. And then, of course, you know, Kasich, he just drives me nuts. But in our state, and it looks like I was just reading some stuff about Arizona. It looks like Janet Brewer was doing something with that, yeah, as well.
Oh, is she standing up against it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the only thing I've seen Janet Brewer is doing is talking about, you know, just renaming it like what a lot of states are, you know, like what a lot of states are doing. But I mean, that's not changing anything.
Yeah, weird.
You know, like for instance, let's see here. Like, let's see, I'm trying to find some of the names that they've been given. You know, they've been giving it like. Let's see. I'm trying to find it's even got some funny names here that they're talking about. I can't find it here, but
Well, do you remember when Acorn had all sorts of problems? You know, and it was like somebody
ran the number up to
over 50 people were thrown in,
right.
Were convicted or pled guilty. Well, California
right.
here, their Acorn chapter, changed their name. Oh, isn't that neat? And instantly
yeah,
they had a couple hundred thousand members. Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. You remember that. Well, here we go. It says Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, I called her Jan earlier, but used an executive order to strip the name Common Core from the state's new math and reading standards for public schools. It says, in the Hawkeye State, Iowa, the same standards are now called the Iowa Core. And in Florida, lawmakers want to delete Common Core from the official documents and replace it with cheerier-sounding Next Generation Sunshine State standards. I mean, what the hell is that?
Well, look what
Jimmy
Carter did to public education, you know, and then Clinton did the No Child Left Behind, whatever that was, and then, you know, it's control. It's centralized control, Jimmy Carter, you know. I don't understand why we've let this happen. Oh, that's right, the states are out of money. That's why.
Yeah, states are out of the money, and then the federal government has it. So they go, you know, in order to get the money, the states say, okay, well, you know, we need the money, and so we'll go ahead and take it from the federal government, but of course there's always the strings.
Well, yeah, here's another example of strings. I had a good friend who worked at the state legislature, and she was working at a Senate Republican caucus, which was kind of a research tank for the Republicans, and the gas tax was a big check sent to the federal government from California. And then that money would come back with strings. It's like, really? Insanity. I don't know how this works.
I know, but, you know, it starts at the state level, you know, and why the states, you know, are bankrupt is because you've got a lot of states, you know, that have their, you know, let's be honest, you know, the increase in the social welfare systems, you know, which, you know, you just got people, and I believe in a hand up, not a, you know, hand out, but, you know, they're spending all those, you know, excuse me. Well, my voice is just messed up today, I guess. I got a really scratchy throat today, and I apologize for the folks. I'm trying to talk through it, but anyway. You know, but what's going on with the states is, you know, it's what the states are spending their money on. You know, of course, we also talked about, you know, pensions, you know, the underfunded pensions, which are now starting to, you know, suck a lot of, you know, states dry as well.
Called inflation. The feds, the Federal Reserve, their timing was, well, probably well strategized. They stopped buying bonds, and that's why the stock market's been going down. That's a real interesting scenario. Gold's going back up again. You know, that was what was artificially, one factor that was artificially propping up the stock market. I mean, the projection is not good for our economy. I'm sorry to say, but it's only going to get worse with this funny money, which Ron Paul was big about auditing the Fed, and the Senate never, he got a pass in the House of Representatives, 77%, and went over the Senate, well, after the election. I don't know if they're even going to do anything in the Senate to audit the Fed. So we're going to have continual economic difficulties.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. It's not going to get any better. And I don't like how they're trying. And they're using, you know, never waste a crisis. It seems that's what the, you know, progressives want to do. Is, you know, and then of course they're using, you know, what the state of the economy and the state of jobs to actually use that as a measure to push Common Core. Like, oh, well, we got to get everybody, you know, for the world economy. We got to get them all on the same page. Which, as I said, you know, earlier tonight. On the surface, that sounds good. Like, oh, yeah, we got to compete with, you know, other nations and stuff, which is true. But as you know, when you have one set system for anything is, you know, you definitely suffer through mediocrity. And how can you test, you know, test something if everyone has to do it? How do you know if that is the best way of doing it? I mean, that's what we talk about all the time about the states is, you know, each state is, you know, goes through a great experiment onto whether, you know, certain things work, you know, whether it's education or protection of the environment or anything of that nature. Find what works best. And in some ways, what will work best in one state, you know, just because of, you know, I think there's many states that have their own different cultures. And one thing that works in one state isn't going to work in another, whether it goes to environmentalism or whether it goes to education.
Well, yeah, and it's, what I'm seeing is, you know, the powers that be are pretty much afraid of the youth because youth is waking up massively that, hey, something's really, really wrong. I got this job, or I got my college education, got my degree. I can't get a job. What's going on? Oh, it's the economy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of sitting around wondering what's going on, and people are telling them like me, well, hey, da-da-da-da-da-da, you read this book, check this out, and they're learning from Facebook and the Internet what in the world's going on. So the powers that be, they got to counter with future voters brainwashed by Agenda 21 and Common Core. And it's going to be a real interesting ride the next 5-10 years.
Oh, certainly. You know, certainly. And I think, you know, that's where it's important for the, you know, we got 2014 election. So hopefully, you know, and I hate to say this, and this doesn't really include, you know, any of the people who are, you know, listed to the show, but it's just the people outside of it, is that, you know, that's when they're going to start, you know, waking up. It's election season, so now let's go ahead and, you know, wake up and start paying attention to things. Because I think a lot of folks, unfortunately, don't really pay attention about what's going on in the government until that time.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, but, you know, people know more and more about the people know more about Dancing with the Stars or the Super Bowl than they do our government. But when the pain of can't get a job, I got to live with my parents, got a girlfriend, I don't want to get married, but I don't have a job, the pain of this starts hitting people. I really think the youth in, you know, the 20s, early 30s, they're waking up really fast. So, you know, a new crop of voters is going to come out in 20 years that are going to be, I don't know, they're going to have to be re-educated as this continues. I mean, the homeschool movement has done an awful lot, and it's amazing. I've seen some of these kids, unbelievable. They got it figured out at age like 20, 21. Dan Johnson, he's with Panda. I'd love to get him on the show. He's a shining example of the youth who homeschooled, and they realize, oh, the Constitution's a good idea. And he's a wide awake. He's, you know, people against the NDAA. Common Core can't touch him, and I'm sure he's just furious. I talk with him every now and then. But I'm sure he's just furious with what's going on as well. And he's got his network, and he's got people all over the country approaching county supervisors or commissioners or city council, you know, pass resolutions against the NDAA, and they're starting to get things done. But, you know, it's guys like him that are going to make a big question is, are they going to have enough impact over the next several elections? We can straighten this out before brainwashed voters come in who are educated. I got an 8-year-old son. He's in second grade. He's doing great. I've had to tell him some principles, and he gets it. He gets it. Now, how do I undo this stuff? Am I going to have to run for school board? It's just frustrating.
Well, then I think that's a good idea. I think, yeah, a lot of conservatives, if they can get in, you know, should indeed, you know, run for school board. Now, I believe in order to do that, at least around here, I think you have to have some kind of educational background. And, you know, we know a lot of folks in the education field, unfortunately, right now, you know, they have a liberal progressive leaning. Yeah, I think that's what it's going to have to take. I mean, the school boards have been infiltrated by progressives. They need to, you know, they need to, that needs to be changed. We need to have more, you know, constitutional, libertarian, conservative mindsets in those positions so that we can avoid things like this happen. And speaking of conservatives, what's up with Mike Huckabee supporting Common Core?
I'm scratching my head. I don't know. The Tea Party here...
I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, what's going on with him?
I don't know. I'm... Maybe he just doesn't know. Maybe somebody up top told him, oh, yeah, it's real good. I don't know. I left the Republican Party years ago. I don't know what to say. Huckabee surprised me. I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, I just, you know, read that shortly, you know, a little while ago. You know, and somebody's, you know, pointing out that, I mean, Glenn Beck, which I'm really not a fan of Glenn Beck, especially after the past election. But, yeah, he was talking about, you know, someone on, you know, on Twitter put this out that, you know, Huckabee, you know, is supporting the Common Core. I mean, I don't get that. I mean, what's going on here?
I've had
folks, you know, who come into the, you know, called into the show are like, oh, man, you know, they'd like to see Huckabee run for president again. Well, if we got this guy, you know, I hope he don't, if he's going to be someone who's going to end up supporting Common Core, because if he supports Common Core, what else is he going to turn around and start supporting?
When he was running for president, he got the most votes per dollar. It was amazing. And Iowa, they just loved him in the primaries. And he had on his website that the first day he was going to be in office, he would walk over. This is on his website. He'd walk over to the IRS building and put a closed sign on it. Like, wow, Huckabee, really? And now he's Common Core? Was he misled? Was he deceived? Was he? I don't know. I don't know. I'm beginning to have this problem with trusting Republicans. I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Well, what it's becoming is that they want the federal dollars so they can go back to the people and say, hey, look, this is what I was able to get from the federal government to give back to our state. Look what I've done for us. You know, because you know a lot of folks they just don't dig as deep, you know, as folks like those who listen to the show, and they're like, oh yeah, he's able to get that money from the federal government. But then, you know, they'll take it a step further when they're like, well, okay, well, yeah, they got this money back from the federal government, but what did they have to give up? You know, I mean, did they have to sell their souls in order to get that money back? You know what I mean? What did they have to give up in order to get that money?
Freedom, Benjamin Franklin, he who would trade a little bit of freedom for a little more security deserves neither.
Right. Right, and certainly I'm looking here on Twitter, and someone puts here, it says, you know, Marxists, and I'd have to agree with this statement, and, you know, we talked about it earlier, is says Marxists seem to have infiltrated our education system and are now proceeding to brainwash and indoctrinate our children. And, of course, you know, and I agree with that, because if you have the federal government, and, of course, if you have a federal government, as we have seen, not just with education, but with healthcare and things of that nature, that are filled with progressives, and they're also controlling the, you know, the education and what's being done in education, you know, even in the textbooks, you know, or what becomes in textbooks. I mean, it's definitely going to be opening up for progressive indoctrination.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. I mean, one of the progressive statements in the schools. Oh, the founding fathers were bigots and slave owners, all of them, and they were all atheists. Really? Well, David Barton, Wall Builders, he was talking on a radio program, and he says, only two between the signers of the Declaration of Independence and of the Constitution, all right? Only two of them owned slaves. Thomas Jefferson was one of them. I was like, what? All right, so we debunked that lie. Well, they're all atheists, yeah. Oh, really? So you got a bunch of atheists having trouble getting the Constitution, you know, point, point, point. What would happen is they'd argue as men would, and somebody would suggest, even Benjamin Franklin, hey, let's stop and let's pray. So you get a whole bunch of atheists doing a prayer meeting. It's hard to get a church to do a prayer meeting, much less a bunch of atheists developing the Constitution. Oh,
right.
I think
a lot of them were deists, you know, but I definitely wouldn't have said they were atheists.
Right, but they go to say, and then you go another step, it's like, well, you know, they were bigots and they treated women, you know, kind of like slaves, bad, bad, bad. It's like, wait. John Adams dearly loved his wife Abigail, and I don't think he would be half his man, the man he was, without his wife. Thomas Jefferson dearly loved his wife, the best friend. After she died, he went into just a terrible, terrible tailspin of depression. You know, George and Martha, you've got a lot of good women behind these men, standing beside these men, being just phenomenal support. You tell me they didn't love their wives? Are you really? You know, it takes a good wife to help a man be a good man. And they're doing everything they can to educate the kids that the Constitution was bad because these men were bad, bad, bad. Really? Can you prove it? No. Well, separation of church and state, it's in this. No, it's not in the First Amendment at all. That phrase. It's like this, And they're only going to get worse with Common Core. That's the point.
Certainly, because they're going to control, as we said, you know, what's in the textbook curriculum. But for those who are just joining the show, you're welcome to join in our roundtable discussion by calling in to 347-945-7428. Call in if you'd like to listen or to be heard. And, of course, people being respectful, we do keep the mics open here on the show. Unlike, of course, a lot of, you know, talk shows, you know, people calling in, they're on for about 10 minutes or so, and then the host goes ahead and just, you know, lets them go. But not here on Bard's Logic. We do keep the mics open for those who like, if you want to just stay on for 10 minutes or whatever, you can. But if you like to stay on and be part of our roundtable here, folks are more welcome to do that as well, and that's at 347-945-7428. Perhaps tell us what's going on in your state with Common Core. We'll continue here. Is that, you know, well, we do have, so once, you know, we have some callers here. We can have them come in. And so we do have someone here. It's Neil Farmer. I guess it's from a Skype caller calling in. Thank you very much for coming to the show.
Thank you so very much. I was listening to you comment about the core curriculum. That's going to be a devastating policy that they're going to put into place. It's just actually a continuation of what has already been going on for quite a number of years, but even more so. I don't know if you're aware of it, but I saw a clip here recently of Bill Ayers, and he said during this clip something about building the empire, and then right after that he said, well, we're in the schools now. So I just took that mm-hmm. they mean that they're in control of the educational process in its entirety. And so if you know that or suspect of that, you it's a short walk to see that none of our representatives in Washington are really representing us, and that both parties really represent outside interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly it's becoming more of where you have the new aristocracy in our politicians, you know, starting at the top of the president being, you know, almost like the new king now, especially with all the extravagance this president has been and his family's been living with. And of course, you know, if you have an aristocracy with your monarch, and of course look at all the executive orders. Now, it has been argued he's had less executive orders, but if you look at what Ted Cruz said, you know, and it's not about the amount of executive orders that he's done, but the impact of the executive orders, you know, it's almost like we have another monarch. But, of course, if you have a monarch in an aristocracy, where does that leave us, we the people? Well, of course, it makes us their serfs, not only to the politicians, but to the big business that they serve.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the correct interpretation of the word fascism is when business joins government. This is what the words of when they say private-public partnership, this is what they mean. And my understanding is at this time that actually the United States government itself is an umbrella to 35,000 plus sub-corporations that operate underneath that. So we're not facing fascism. We're already there. That's why we have all these bad laws on the books that represent corrupt interest. And they're not going to leave easily, I can tell you that.
No, what's going to take is, you know, an uprising, peaceful, of course, of massive proportions, in epic proportions, in order to do it. But I think that's what's going on. We talked about this on the show, on past shows, is, you know, what it's appearing is that the federal government is throwing so much at us at one time that it's hard to keep up with. And, of course, life is to the point where you can't pay attention to what the government is doing because, of course, you know, we got to spend so much time just taking care of our own, making sure that, you know, we're being able to put food on the table and take care of our families, that we don't have as much time as, I'd say, we used to be able to keep track of what the government is doing. And it takes, you know, even more effort to be able to do that. And, of course, what that's doing is that's making folks, you know, feel apathetic, and they feel like, well, you know what? I mean, how many times have you heard any one of your friends saying, you know what, you know, the government's going to do what the government's going to do. I have no power. There's nothing I can do. You know, I just got to just do the best I can here at home, and that's it. I mean, how many times have folks heard that?
Quite a bit, I'm sure.
You know, I mean, I hear it from, you know, people within my own family. I hear it within my, you know, my friends. You know, I hear people say that all the time, and they're just very apathetic. And I think, you know, it's a concerted effort by, you know, our government, unfortunately, that's wanting to make people feel that way. What do you think, Kelly? We still have you there? Okay, sounds like Kelly had to step away, and so you know we'll continue on with. Excuse me. So when did you start? Have you always been interested in what's been going on governmentally, politically, or is this something that's been an interest that's been recent for you?
Casual interest over the years, but my dad was ill. And I ended up having to stay here with my family and help take care of him for the last 6-plus years. So I had a lot of time on my hands and having to keep an eye on him. So I began to listen and watch, stuff on the Internet. And slowly but surely, I just realized that our media is totally nothing but a propaganda machine at this time. I don't know that you can get a good piece of information that doesn't have some kind of spin on it that makes it seem unimportant, whatever the topic. And that is part of the platform, is to control the message. So if they need somebody to rail against something, well, they'll just put him out there, but they're still in control of the message, and they actually are moving us, have been, back and forth between these two parties. And when people get upset and start railing at the government, well, lo and behold, they'll get the new party elected, and then things will quieten down for a while. I'll just be frank with you, it's so very corrupt that I don't think that we could actually clean this up without it having a new third party to get involved. The Tea Party tried, but the old Republican Guard, what I would call the old Republican Guard, got some people in there, and they started throwing money at them. And, of course, the guys that were grassroots people, they just kind of stepped aside, and now the Tea Party has gone flat. So, it's going nowhere because they don't want it to go anywhere. So now the people that were participating in that, and with real issues, you'll even hear Democrats on the same issues, really. Most people that I know, it doesn't make any difference what color they are, they want to take care of their families. They want to feed them. They want to have a job. And they've been sending our jobs out of here. This government did that, if you remember, or maybe you don't remember, but all the trade agreements, the free trade agreement, free trade is a British program. Everywhere that it's been instituted, put in place, the countries have had their economies devastated. The tariff, and that's what's happening to our economy. The tariff system that we had in place equalized our trade between any nations that we chose to do business with, and they paid for that, and that's why our trade agreements, our trade balance is upside down, because it's no longer protected. We're just like running up and down the road with a bullseye on our butt saying, take a shot, see if you can hit me, And so if you use a scatter gun, you're not hard to hit. What your comment was, we have so many things that they're throwing at us, to deal with. I'm sorry. Would you tell me your name? First name?
Mine or Kelly's?
Yours?
Robert.
Okay, Robert. I was trying to think. I wanted to call you by name, but I didn't know what to call you.
That's fine. Remind me of yours.
Neil.
Ooh, this is me. Thanks there. Neil.
Neil.
Okay,
thanks,
Neil.
We're in trouble. And the folks that are running the government behind the scenes are very different people than who we think they are. So.
Certainly. You mentioned earlier, we've covered a lot of third parties back in, during the election, especially after the Republican convention. Is there any particular third party that you pay most attention to, or one that most fits your ideology?
The one that has made the most progress, even though it's far down the line, the one that has made the most progress is the Constitution Party.
Wow,
and,
okay.
They actually have got some senators and stuff elected. You don't get a chance to hear from them very much. I will give I would like to know, Robert, are you aware that the thorn in our flesh, really, since it's been instituted, one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem, is the Federal Reserve? Are you aware of that history there, or...
Oh yeah, you know, we talk about the Fed all the time, don't we, Kelly? I think Kelly might have dropped off. I guess he'll be back when he can. Sometimes he has to go. He's one of our other panelists here on the show.
Okay.
Step away for a little bit. Yeah, we've got our normal panelists too couldn't make it with us tonight. I read an article from one tonight. That's Dan Gray, and then we have Kelly. And then we have James Neighbor, who is the founder of Overpasses for America. He had some things he had to take care of this evening as well. And then Kelly looks like he had to step away. But, yeah, we spoke about that. And actually we covered a lot with Ron Paul back during the convention. And that was, so we talked a lot about the Federal Reserve.
Well, the main point is
printing money, fiat currency.
Well, the main point of it is that it is privately owned. It is not a government institution.
Right.
It is not federal, and there is nothing in reserve. They print.
Right.
They print money out of thin air, and then, for instance, if you own $100, it costs a little less than 8 cents to print one currently. They put that into circulation, charge a 6% interest, which would be $6 for 12 months. Well, if you divide, just call it 8 cents, if you divide 8 cents into the $6, it goes 70-something times, so you're talking about 7,000% interest that they make on putting that currency into. There's not a company in America that makes that kind of money. I don't know if there's any other company in the world that makes that kind of money. So this is an open sore. They were responsible for killing Kennedy, at least partially responsible. Also, Kennedy. You know, Kennedy had printed silver certificates, $4 billion worth, I think, was going to put us back on our own interest-free money. And the powers that be, just, you know, they're not going to put up with that. So... it has, you know, for instance, I think it was Nathan Rothschild said in 1811, a year prior to 1812, when we had the battle there, when they blowed the records part of the White House all to pieces and destroyed a lot of the land patents, he said, if the United States will not renew the charter for the bank, I believe it was called at that time the United States Bank. The first one was, and then they got another charter for the second one. I think that was the second one, that the United States would find itself at war. So we're under the thumb of a group of bankers out of the city of London in England. European interests have been in control of us, really, for a long, long time. And as long as they stay in control of our money supply and our political process, the IRS is chartered out of Puerto Rico. We don't even know who the owners are of the IRS. And the IRS says that they are not a taxing agency. They are a collection agency. Well, who do they collect for? They collect for the Federal Reserve. What does the Federal Reserve say? The interest that we owe them on the debt that is charged for printing our money. And so it's just, if you start looking at it, it is a nasty open sore. Now, Sictel Company Corporation of Spain bought out a company here in the United States that was doing electronic voting tabulation. And this went on during the last round of voting here. They were responsible for amalgamating the votes from over 500 different voting districts here in the United States. Why is it that a company in, we have to hire a company in Spain to do our, take care of this electronic voting? Well, they made a statement that after the votes were amalgamated, that they could not validate the authenticity of the votes. That too is an open sore. However, that's what they want. Do you hear the Republicans railing about it? Do you hear the Democrats railing about it? No. So,
were you able to vote for Virgil Goode in your state for president?
He was the guy that they put forward. However, I think that we're going to have to step away from him being a representative for the constituted party. He's a lifelong political person. We need to do away with that altogether. People that have a political past that are professional politicians, we don't need those people to move into. Maybe a good person, but I just don't feel that he was the right choice. So, if you can't. And here's the next thing. We're not going to, that wouldn't be an overnight thing for a third party to win a presidency. Our real problems lie right here at home, because that's where the support comes for the federal part of our government to be empowered by. If things aren't clean at home, they can't be clean in Washington. So the best thing that people could do is to simply, I don't know about you, but my family was staunch Democrats. I don't even know if I ever even heard the word Republican before Jimmy Carter was such a prolific failure.
My dad was a Reagan Democrat, yeah.
Yeah, and however, you go back, you'll see that Reagan had problems too. Nixon opened trade with China. They knew a long time ahead of time what they were going to do. I don't know if you probably don't remember this, but there was a joke about during Jimmy Carter's administration. I don't remember how it goes exactly, but it kind of went like this. It went, well, you heard about Jimmy Carter doing so-and-so, and he said, no, I didn't hear that. We heard about him doing this, didn't you? No, I didn't hear about that. We heard about him. No, I didn't hear that. Man, next thing you'll do is tell me he gave away the Panama Canal. Well, he did. He did give away the Panama Canal. And so there was supposed to be protests down there and all this other stuff. It's just all a bunch of made-up baloney. But now the Chinese, along with the Dutch, are down there spending billions of dollars widening and deepening the Panama Canal for those big container ships to come through there instead of having to round the horn of South America where they can come straight up there to the harbors there at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have lost control of that investment in money and lives that were lost down there, putting all that together, and it being right here in our own backyard. And if you go down there and look at Panama, man, it looks like a little New York. There's skyscrapers everywhere.
Well, and there's there's a lot of money exchanging hands there. And Kelly, I know we've tried to bring you in a couple times.
Yeah, come on, Kelly.
Are you still out there?
Yeah, am I here? Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we could barely hear you.
Yeah,
and real quick, we do have some new folks, so if you'd like to listen in or to chime in, feel free to call us here at 347-945-7428. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, the Panama Canal, by the way, was a treaty that was not passed by the United States Senate.
We could barely hear you. Can you be close to your mic, or... I hate to have you scream,
I'm screaming into my microphone.
Oh, there you go. That's a little bit better.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Jimmy Carter signed the Panama Canal Treaty, giving it over to whoever, back to Panama. But he did that without the Senate, with two-thirds of the Senate. Well, when Newt Gingrich, he brought in, you know, the contract with America, and Rush Limbaugh helped get a lot of Republicans. One of their first resolutions was to tell the president of Panama, hey, we still own it. So it's an interesting scenario how it just keeps happening by the stroke of a pen of a president when it really wasn't even official. For our two-thirds of the Senate did not sign the treaty.
Well, executive order, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, that came about into play when Abraham Lincoln first used that, was the Congress gave the president that power, supposedly during wartime. I believe it was called the War Powers Act, and we're actually still under that. In the law, apparently there's no provision except for that power to be taken back, except the president give it up. Well, no president has ever given back the power of making executive orders. So the other day, I see Obama in a interview with someone, and someone asked him a question, and he said, well, that's out of my hands. That has to do with the Congress. That was their decision. So if you go to the Congress and you try to pin them down and say, well, the president, that he's the one that did that. We didn't have anything to do with that. So it's just a mechanism for them to plow through stuff that they probably couldn't get done, because if they lose their support in the Senate from the folks that are back at home that they've been, you know, building this public image with, if they had someone directly to blame, they'd be out. The next go around of voting, they'd be out. I actually think that this thing with voting is way out of hand. We ought to hire them by contract. If you don't do what you're hired to do, you're out. You're fired. Get somebody else in there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they don't want that either. But the thing is, we as a people are being wronged every day, and we have been for a long time. So executive order, that's another open sore. It should be done away with.
No, I agree. As you know, we said earlier, what, you know, Ted Cruz was saying is it's not even the amount that they do. It's the impact that these executive orders have. And you know, and we talked earlier. You mentioned about the, you know, go back to the Constitution Party, and we'll bring you back to Common Core in a minute.
Okay.
But one thing we did talk about, you know, back during the election, is the possibility of third parties. And this could be, you know, I guess we could bring this in with the Common Core too, because we're all pretty much acknowledging that the two parties are kind of failing us right now. Do you see that it's becoming time for here in the United States to develop, whether improbable or not, to develop a multi-party system?
Well, we are a multi-party system. That's always on the table. But I know here at home they are making it difficult. You've got to raise like $100,000 worth of fees prior to you getting access to the system, which I think is wrong. That's here in Alabama. But it ought to be, if you want to run for office, you just throw your hat in there and you get to run. But unless people recognize this concept that they're using, it's called the Hegelian dialectic. It's thesis, antithesis, and then you rub two opposites against each other, and then you get a synthesis. And you don't know if the outcome is what you want, but maybe it moves you in a direction that is more like what you want. In other words, it gives us some kind of progress, and that's what's on our dollar bill. Ordo ab chao, order out of chaos. You introduce chaos, and then that brings the kind of order that you want. The folks that live by that kind of so who owns the dollar bill? Right on it, it says a Federal Reserve note. It doesn't say the
right.
Say the United States note, which is what it's supposed to say. I'd be surprised if we didn't continue fussing about that, that they'll start printing United States note on it, but it won't be. It'll be same outfit unless you do away with them.
Mm-hmm.
We should be in control of our own money. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to skip gears there on you, but...
No, no, that's okay. Yeah. That happens here sometimes on Barnes Logic, where we digress a little bit. But, you know, but it all comes down to, you know, what Common Core is all about. It's about manipulation and control. It's about putting everything under the thumb of the federal government. I mean, back when I was a kid, I mean, I never thought like that, you know, that the government was something. We were up thinking that, you know, the government, you know, I'm 43, we grew up thinking that the government was something that, you know, was supposed to, help the people, or at least help them to, you know, to grow and be prosperous. But now it seems like that, and represent us, you know, our politicians to represent us. But man, just now, you know, just... I've been paying attention to politics since I was 10. In those 30 years, it just amazes me how things are different than what I thought.
You're 43. How old is Kelly?
I don't know, Kelly. How old are you? Now he's been having some mic difficulties, so
okay.
Maybe it's just
well, Robert, here's the thing. I'm 59, and my generation is pretty much a Vietnam era. And I know you, during your time, I guess that had to do with Iraq and stuff. So I did not know it, but Kennedy was going to bring our folks. We weren't going to be involved in Vietnam. He said, we'll offer advisors and we'll help support you, but we're not going to put troops on the ground. Well, within 72 hours of him being assassinated, Johnson had someone to call up the South Vietnamese and tell them we was going to support them 100%, which really meant our involvement. And what the event that took place was the Bay of Tonkin incident, where a couple of our destroyers were supposed to have been attacked by some torpedo boats. And
mm-hmm.
so that event never took place. And the next morning, Johnson ordered bombers into North Vietnam, and we were off into a 12-year protracted war that we actually could have won had they took the gloves off, so to speak, and it is
mm-hmm.
nasty what we did over there anyway. We killed 3 million people. I think we killed 1 million people in Iraq, and there again, a protracted war, and it just grinds our economy into the dirt, and we end up with this huge debt owed to who? The Federal Reserve. So you look at where the money goes, and it goes to the war machine people, the people that make the boots, the guns, the bullets, the planes, all of it. And it's not good. So you say, well, this is called a false flag operation. That's exactly what it was. If you go back to World War II, the event was Pearl Harbor that took us into the war, and that was Roosevelt knew about it, and they've proven that he knew about it. They won't say that on all your documentaries on the television because the media is bought and paid for, but there's enough people out there that have given testimony and written books, and people that were there and were involved in it have made those enough statements that we know that he knew about it. And he let it happen to get us involved in the war. The First World War was the sinking of the Lusitania. That took us into World War One. Wilson said he ran on a ticket. We were not going to get in the war. And I know that we had several hundred Americans on that ship that died. However, the loss of life afterwards was just horrible. We lost 57,000 deaths and I don't know how many wounded from Vietnam. Now we got this Twin Tower incident. What happened? Mm-hmm. Off we went into war. So we got a bunch of crooks running our country, and they need to be cleaned out. I don't know that that will happen, but that's what needs to be done.
Well, and it does need to happen. What would you suggest? And that's one of the things we talked about here, you know, on the show, solutions. We know that those are definitely problems, but what would you suggest? What needs to be done for us to, you know, clean house?
Well, the only way we could do that peacefully at this time is that you have to pursue a political interest that will represent the interests of the people. I mean, it's supposed to be for the people and by the people. Well, people have to get involved. If I were running the platform for the Constitution Party, I would certainly educate the people about this thing with the Federal Reserve and let them know. I talked with a guy that was like 70 years old here last year, and I was at his place of business, and I mentioned to him that the Federal Reserve was privately owned. We were just talking, you know, and he looked like I just slapped him upside the face. He didn't know that. And people, there's so many things that we're not aware of that is being done to us and has been done to us, that and the reason why are any of the topics that we talked about should be a topic that's discussed in high school?
Well, no, I agree. There's a lot of things that they didn't cover. I mean, I know one of the things that I wish they would have talked more about when I was in high school, at least, was financial literacy, personal finance, but they didn't. But yeah, certainly. And then with the Common Core, I think it's going to get a lot worse, and we're not going to have those important lessons. And I think one of the other things we're going to be finding in Common Core is, I could be wrong, but I mean, what do you think, that we'll start seeing the degradation of America and our founding fathers?
Well, some of those guys didn't represent us either. So, I mean, if our Constitution has got some cracks in it, and so I wouldn't go for a. For instance, though, I mean, you know, I know that that's hard for you to hear that. However, if martial law is ever imposed in this country, they already have a brand new constitution sitting there waiting to be implemented. And under the jurisdiction of that, Obama, through executive order, has issued where they can take control of all private property, your cars, your airplanes, your boats, your home, food storage that you might have built up. If you've got water on your land, they take control of your water. You know, it's the same really as serfdom. You're just allowed to live on it as long as you can produce something from it that is of a benefit to them. Of course, and I'm going to tell you, people that think or talk like we do, or me anyway, we're considered defective.
Right.
I've already
extreme.
Yes, and Henry Kissinger recently made a comment that he's been on television for 40 years or more, being involved in the political circles of our government, and he made the statement that in the New World Order, a patriot will be considered a terrorist. Obama has issued an executive order that calls for conscription of individuals up to 64 years of age for military service. Well, that, I still got almost a little over four years to go before I'd be out of that. But that, I thought that, that should make people sit up and notice, but people aren't aware of it. That's what I'm saying. The real news is not hitting the table, or America would be hot, buddy. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we
they'll figure it out.
We definitely need to get that out. And this, you know, and we're all about people, you know, getting information and doing their own research instead of always just, you know, instead of just hearing what they'll hear either on the mainstream media or even in some of the so-called conservative networks. And just to be said, is I was a supporter of the Constitution Party during the last election, especially the debacle of what was the Republican primary and the Republican primary and then the convention. And so we interviewed a lot of folks here from the Constitution Party, both party leaders, and I did interview on a couple occasions Virgil Good as well as Jim Clymer. And so and then there was also Randy Stufflebeam from over there. I think he was the vice chairman of the Constitution Party. And then I interviewed some state like Don Schrader, who was the state chairman of Ohio for the Constitution Party. So I really liked what I had to hear a lot from them. And if you can get those, if you are a fan or supporter of the Constitution Party, you can see those interviews in the archives of the show. But I do see we only have about 15 minutes of live time. We may go into what we call extended version here, Neil. And what that is the show is live up until midnight Eastern time. And then after that, there is what we call the extended period, which goes on for, or can go on for, you know, almost another hour, you know, depending on how things go. But right now, there's folks still listening in who'd like to chime in or listen to a little bit of the extended version. That's 347-945-7428. And just got a notice here from Kelly. Kelly, you got your mic there? Like to bring in?
Yeah.
There you go.
Right,
there you are. Great.
Yeah. Well, what's an easy tool I use to wake people up about the Federal Reserve, which, again, goes back to Common Core, money, money we need, and why inflation, is, you know, just say I'm talking to a friend and, I don't know, he owes me money or whatever. I'll say, well, I'll take a note for payment. A note? Yeah. Pull out your dollar bill. They're like, what? I'll do this as a store clerk sometimes. Will you take a note for payment? They look at me like, what? A note. And they shake their head like, no, or you're out of your mind. So I whip out a dollar bill, and I point to the word note, N-O-T-E. Yeah, it's the Federal Reserve. And by the way, you know, it's a private corporation printing our currency, but you know what? I'll give you $100 if you can go to the blue section of the phone book. That's the government, U.S. government. I'll give you $100 if you can point to me the Federal Reserve number in the blue section of the phone book. And it's fascinating because, you know, I have one lady who was, you're not one of these conspiracy theory people, are you? $100, open your phone book, show me in the blue section the Federal Reserve number. It is a private corporation printing our currency. It's a really simple technique. And, you know, I told a friend about it. He's like, what? He looked it up online. He's like, oh, my gosh. That kind of frightened him. So that's just a simple technique to get through to a lot of people. And the obvious is, hey, look, the R's and the D's are in on it. Ron Paul did something good. But, you know, pretty much they have the power, but no, they want to do this. They want to continue the printing of the currency, and then the nation becomes bankrupt because it was designed to happen this way, G. Edward Griffin. So you look at that, you look at the currency, you look at the corporations being funded that should be, you know, bank bailouts, and pretty soon you start putting two and two together. Oh, that's what's going on. Yeah, that's why states are broken, why they need to have Common Core, because they need the money. It's the power of the purse.
Well, I agree with you. That certainly is a major portion of it, but I think that if they're also sick on power. They have been in power for a long time. If you look at all these guys that are in the wings of government, they just get floated in and out of one administration to another administration. Sometimes they're Democrat, sometimes they're Republican. Some of them have just been there for years. In one capacity or another. So these are the horses that are pulling the wagon for the those who are corrupt. You don't want to think. I mean, me and my dad were having a conversation one day, and I was talking about speeches, about some speech. I don't even remember who it was giving a speech, and he said, "Well, that's really what most of politics is just speeches." So those who give the best speech, who make the most points in a debate, we gravitate to them, not really knowing anything about them because they get made a great speech. And I think that we owe ourselves more, a closer examination of who's being brought forth to vote on than that. I'm just saying the Constitution Party shouldn't put a single person in office that has a background in politics from any level. They ought to go get them a plumber, a carpenter, a dog catcher, anybody that somebody wrestles alligators. They might make a good person to put. We need statesmen, people that actually care about our country.
Well, that's right. And what happens is, you get some folks in there who actually want to make a difference, and, it's like they don't, go along, they get threatened to not, not get their funding, for the next elections and things of that nature.
I don't know if I may have went the long way around the barn trying to answer your question or comment there, Kelly. Sorry about that, Kelly. I don't mean to get so windy, but we need our young people involved. I know that there are a lot of them out there. From my perspective, it's their future now. We're not going to be here that much longer, and it's up to them to step in and get a hold of it. But if their minds are never put on a path to seek some kind of wisdom in these matters, they're not going to get it through the schools. They're not going to touch on it at all. And so they don't. The last thing they want is an educated electorate, I promise you. So that's what you have to do. The biggest thing to do would be to privatize the banks. Get them out of our hair. They've been a thorn in our flesh from the beginning. And clean up our political process. I'd make everything a hard paper vote. None of this electronical mumbo jumbo.
Mm-hmm. You bring back those hanging chads.
Yeah, hang those chads.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination, but it does make you wonder if that whole controversy back with Bush Gore was it to try to get us on that on the system we have now. Go ahead, Kelly.
I'm kind of being repetitive here, but I think if we keep waking people up, Neil, that's your name, right?
Yes, Neil.
All right. Well, state next to you, Georgia, there was a corrupt judge who was indicted by a grand jury. That's one of my focuses. Bring me on Facebook. I'll send you a YouTube video. It is something we can do to start getting these corrupt schmucks out of office.
Right. And Neil, are you a Facebook user or Twitter or what?
I have used Facebook some. I just started doing that. I don't really know much about it. And But we certainly, I think I don't know, is the Constitution Party on there? If not, they probably should be. They need some.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Randy Stuffelbeam. There's some Constitution people, and they're like, right, like Randy Stuffelbeam. Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many states that they are actually qualified to participate in at this time. You know, they've made the, I don't even know what the rules are, but I don't think that we need to concentrate on a, we can put someone out there for president. If you notice Virgil Good, I don't even know if he had a single debate that he was allowed to participate in. So that means that part of it is somewhat closed. You can still do what you can do.
Debate with Christina Tobin and Larry King, Larry Johnson and the Green Party. They had two debates, actually. I think they started with five or six candidates from different parties, and then the most votes, which ended up being three, ended up in a second debate. And that was groundbreaking there.
Well,
yeah, I interviewed Christina Tobin on the show when she was talking about doing the free and equal debates, and we covered that debate here on the show as well. You can look back in the archives where I believe we did pipe that debate through.
I think
yeah,
it
all,
should.
I mean,
go ahead. I'm
go ahead,
sorry. Neil. I didn't mean to step on you. Well,
no, that's all right.
the young, we all are, you know, a little bit ill like this. You kind of like a dog who's got his hair raised on his back. You know, you're not sure where you're going to bite somebody or not. You know, so it's hard to express yourself maybe like we should. But I believe that the young people, that it's going to take a lot of effort to get out in there in the communities. I mean, if you door to door, if that's what you got to do, because that's what there's some guys over here on another station called they call themselves the Coffee Party, and they are of a progressive bent. They think that somehow they've got the answers, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. But I don't really see anything that progressive about them, because this is part of the Woodrow Wilson, Rockefeller positions that were originally, and they somehow think that that's going to be good for us. And I have to tell you, historically, I cannot see anywhere that socialism has ever been put in place that they didn't kill a lot of people. So I just don't. I'm just not going to follow that. I don't pay any attention to it. We have, in the beginning, when the people came here, they were trying to escape tyranny. I mean, the Pilgrims and the Puritans and those people, those are really the founders. Those are the ones that took the hard chances. And then later, you know, they said, someone made the statement that there's nothing, there was nothing better than to make a people that were in slavery, to make them think that they were free, because they worked so hard when they think that they're free to build things. And if you look at our nation, man, we were just, you know, turning the earth upside down here.
Real quick, Neil, I just want to let folks know that we do only have 2 minutes of the live time here on Bard's Logic, so it looks like we will be going until at least some of the extended period. But one thing that happens here on the show is that if you are on the line, or if you are listening over the Internet but not called in, then at the stroke of midnight here, Eastern Time, it will drop you from listening to the rest of the show, to the extended version. So if you'd like to listen in or chime in for whatever part of the extended version we do, just call in within the next minute to 347-945-7428 if you'd like to listen in or even chime in. And that's 347-945-7428. And if you'd like to chime in, go ahead and push the 1 on your number dial. But if you can't stay for the extended version, I want to thank you very much for coming to the show, and we will see you next time. And next week we have an organization that's on. We'll have a guest, Crystal Barger, and she'll be talking about that. And we'll come in, and they've got a story here, but they're trying to build an organization for their daughter that passed away in a tragic accident. But they're also got, trying to make some positive out of it. So definitely come and check that out next week, next Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So thank you very much, folks, and good night. And hopefully you can come in for the extended version. But if not, just check out the show on the archive, which will be available immediately after the show. So take care. And we are in the extended version, so go ahead and continue with what you were talking about. There, Neil, go ahead.
I think I actually lost my train of thought. But we talking about common core curriculum that they're wanting to impose. They're after our young people now, man. They're after them as if they were chasing them down the street with a claw hammer. I mean, that's really the way that we have to look at it. And we're going to have to get out there, come up with some plans, and get into the neighborhoods and go after it. And hopefully, we'll have some success.
Well, we have to, this country will cease to exist as we know it, or have known it, I should say. And even if I said earlier tonight that, it's certainly not the same America that I remember even growing up, as a young kid. It's just amazing me how different it is and what my opinions even of our own government. And I know when I was younger, I used to have a positive opinion of our government. But now, not so much. And I used to have more of a positive opinion of our politicians, but I really don't feel that way today as I once did, that's for certain.
That's right. This guy, Brzezinski, one of Kissinger's buddy, same way, been on the airwaves for years and years, all this time that we've given to them, and the whole time they're not after helping build America. They want to tear us down. And so they follow this. I don't know if you ever watched that movie, 1984, but you ought to. Yeah, you ought to watch it. It's kind of spooky how things are becoming like the scenario presented there. But Brzezinski said, I think he said once it was a lot easier to control a million people than it was to kill a million people. But he said now it's a lot easier to kill a million people than it is to control a million people. You know, as long as I've lived on life, just sitting around doing, living my life, those kind of thoughts never entered into my mind. I don't think like that. I don't sit around and wonder, think about concepts like that. But they do, and they've been trained to do this. They think like this. And those who represent the New World Order, that's exactly the way they are. Bill Gates is a eugenicist. Ted Turner's a eugenicist. They believe there's too many people on the earth. Ted Turner was given he was given a talk, and he said, "Well, we're going to have to do it. We're just going to have to do it. We're going to have to do it." And I'm like, what's he saying, Well, he's saying we're going to have to get rid of some people. And
Of course, he's not one of them.
No. Well, they look people that think like you are defective, Robert. That's the problem, you know. According to them, you're defective, not according to me. I'm just,
I understand. And And, of course, we don't have the money that they have either, so.
Well, no. But if they're printing up fake money, I mean, if you do that, if you go home and decide, you know, hey, I'm going to print me up some money, they'll put you in. They don't like competition.
Yeah, they'll put you in prison.
Yeah, Robert's money might be worth more than our money. We can't stand that. And they're saying that
based on some tangible, like precious metals or something.
Well, I don't. They're saying now that, you know, it's based on the full faith and credit of the United States, which has kind of stood the test of time. However, if they said to put us on gold standard, we don't have any.
Right. Yeah, we don't have that anymore. That's why we actually had a show where someone suggested that, you know, there's not enough, you know, gold and silver to be able to, you know, back up our currency. And so he was talking about, you know, when he's talking, you know, precious metals and things of that nature and other materials to base, you know, base our currency off of, not just, you know, gold and silver. And that was a long time ago. I have to listen to that show again. I mean, this guy had some great ideas.
They confiscated all the gold in 1933. They made it against the law for you to own gold. And then as soon as they figured they had all the gold in, they devalued the currency to half of the value of gold so that the gold price went up. They said, well, gold went up. No, your buying power went down. And that's what's going on now. We think gold is going up. No, the value of the dollar is going down. And you can't eat gold or silver. Our strength lies in our people. And what's being done to us with the stripping away of our manufacturing industry and then having those who are, they're really, a lot of people don't like to hear the word globalist, but I haven't thought of a good word to replace that with other than crooks. But I'll just continue to call them globalists, that in order for them to put this in place and take advantage of the cheap labor of China, as if that wasn't enough, they had to tear down the tariff system. And so you can see that Nixon opened that up. Of course, Carter, I believe, signed some documents that made all of our lands private and public, subject to the national debt. That's why they're running the national debt up. I think they have the idea to foreclose on the United States. That means that you really don't own your home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Hillary Clinton recently made the statement that, if our national debt didn't go any higher, we would not trade any land to China for our debt. Well, they just kicked it up $1 trillion or so the other day. So I'm suspecting that here before too long, they're going to start saying, you know, in little bitty pieces, they're going to start handing off this piece of national land or whatever and giving it to the Chinese. Now, we're supposed to have borrowed $1 trillion from China, $1 trillion from Russia, almost $1 trillion from Brazil, and a few other countries. All right, we've got the thing with the Federal Reserve is a scam, and I'm going to tell you a couple things. This thing with Gaddafi had a large stack of gold that he had built up over there in his country. He wanted to develop a new currency for the entire continent of Africa, and they weren't going to have that. And so that's why Obama threw our folks in there, bypassed Congress. And, of course, when the dust settles, we don't know where their gold went, but guess what? They got a brand-new central bank. Well, the Rothschilds run the central banks of every country on Earth, and there's only three countries left now. There were four, of which Libya was one of them. Now there's only three countries left in the world that do not have a central bank. and that is North Korea, Iran, and Cuba. And they, since recent months, Obama's had meetings with all three of them. I think that you'll probably see here relatively soon that they're going to come on board, and they'll end up having a central bank too. And so this is when probably they may do away with currencies and try to put everybody on a piece of plastic, and, you know, then we're going to see some things happen that we just didn't believe would happen.
For sure, unless they put it all on plastic and there's nothing really to trade, then of course they can, you know, just in virtues of even computers and things of that nature, just wipe anybody out at any time they want.
Yeah, if they don't like you, or they'll have fake, we were attacked by some terrorists and they erased all our records and we don't know how much money you had in there, sir. You may say you had $1 million, but we can't, I guess we do have the FDIC that insures your account for $100,000. I guess we can put $100,000 back in there for you. That's a scam too. They don't have any money laying around that they've stacked up to put in your account. It's electronic as well. So that's fraudulent. So we've got a fraudulent banking system, a fraudulent tax system, fraudulent collection system.
Could you have a fraudulent education system?
Well, we do, Robert. We do. And I'm going to tell you something. I got it one night when I kind of finally started getting it. I don't get things quite as fast as other people do, I guess. It made me sick to my stomach. I went outside and just stood up there, just out there leaking at the sky, and then I leaned over and I got my hands on my knees. I'm breathing heavily, and I think I said out loud, I thought, Neil, how could you be so stupid? But I'm not the only one. It boil down to being stupid? We've been deceived is what it boils down to. You know, I don't know if you believe in the Bible, read the Bible, but it says, let no man deceive you, none. Not your father, not your brother, not your best friend, not your uncle, not anybody, not your politician that you vote for, not your president in the White House. Don't let anyone deceive you. And so I have made that something that if I were wearing it, you know, I talk with people and I get stark responses from them about various things that I have to say, but that's really what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to stand people up dead in their tracks and make them wake up if they can be woken up. And then, for instance, I'm going to tell you this, and I'll let you and Kelly alone. J. Edgar Hoover made a statement that the American mind cannot conceive the evil that has been introduced among us, which must ultimately destroy all that which is good and decent. Well, what evil was he talking about? And it's this power that's running the show now. And you'll also, if you go and study Project Paperclip, what went on there, Rockefeller, Eisenhower, things that they allowed to happen. We had 25,000 soldiers that were in Russia after the war that they just let them stay over there in the gulags and the camps. They didn't demand them to be returned to us or anything. The reason why is because Russia didn't have nothing. They had none of the manufacturing capacity that we had. They couldn't have put a war up against us under any circumstances, but they had to have this Cold War in place in order for them to convince the United States, the people here, that we had to build up this huge military mechanism to put in place. Now, since World War II, we've been involved in 60 different military conflicts, not including black off-the-book operations, and all of it is to bring these smaller, weaker countries into compliance for the New World Order. That's what it's all about. And they have burnt our soldiers down, our people down, just like as if they were firewood for nothing.
We're definitely going to have to dedicate a show, because I know a lot of folks that come on here talk about the New World Order, and we definitely, and things of that nature, we definitely have to have at least one show, if not a series, on that. And I think know, we'll have to get that together. Like, you know, like that time where we're going to do state sovereignty, Kelly, we talked about doing a series on that, but, you know, we get a lot of guests on, things of that nature, and we do like to have, you know, guests get the opportunity to speak on the show, but, you know, we should also, I'd also like to start doing some series as well. You know, perhaps if I ever get some time to be able to do the show more than one day a week, we'll be able to do that. So, Kelly, is there anything you want to comment on that or can comment on that? And then what I'll probably do is go ahead and I think that would be a good point to start doing, shutting down the show a little bit earlier tonight, and then we'll go from there.
Well, yeah, I studied this stuff a lot, and I came to a point where I'm done studying it because there's not much solution other than telling people. Of course, that's when I wrote about the fourth branch and the grand jury. But, you know, there are simple little techniques. One of the challenges is for patriots to know when to pull back, because when somebody is hearing this for the very first time, they'll be like, what?
Mm-hmm.
They're going through emotional shock. They're going through thoughts and feelings of betrayal. And they don't know what to do about it. They're not sure if they want to believe. There's the bottom line. Most people don't want to believe that such chronic evil exists. And so when we tell a little bit, this is what I do. I tell a little bit, then another day, a little more another day. Pretty soon people start researching and they're coming back to me. And the strangest thing is I become a therapist because they're in emotional shock. And as I am helping them come out of that shock through, I call it therapy, I just listen. Yeah, uh-huh, heard about it. Yep, this is what's going on. The strangest thing is it really empowers them. Some patriots, they go off and on and on and on and on, and it pushes people away, and it doesn't work. So we have to, sorry to say, spoon-feed people here and there and there, and then when they get on it themselves, they'll be coming to us. And that's a technique I've used to waken up a lot of people.
Well, I hear you, Kelly. I do. As I said earlier, it's difficult. It is hard to know how to present this information because we have another election coming here. We've got 40 seats open. In the Constitution, wherever those 40 seats are available, the Constitution Party needs to be working wide open, not only for those seats, but for at home in their local communities. Every day need to be out getting this where people are. You know, they say if you'll talk to a person for 10 minutes, they'll tell you the thing that they're thinking about the most. Well, for the last hour and a half, we three... you know, we pretty well express what we're thinking about. This is on our minds. It's not just something to talk about. You know, we can see plainly how things are. And so you're right. I've heard people, I have a friend of mine that she'll say, Neil, you're such a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
And, you know, she'll say, you're not going to talk about conspiracies today, are you, Neil? And so they can't accept that what you're talking about is real. So I think you're right, Kelly. I would probably be somewhat in that category, but I've almost reckoned myself that some people will get it and move on, and that they'll pick up that banner that's laying there and realize and begin to communicate those messages to the people that they love, that they're important to them and what they see. So if I'm for whatever method works. You know, right now I'm using a shotgun. So,
The other trick is, you know, a little here, a little there. When there's a big news item, like when the banks got bailed out, you know, corporate welfare. You know, he can show a little bit about that and a little bit about that. And then all of a sudden your friends will be like, how does he know all this stuff? And then, you know, they start coming to you. But the best thing we can do if they're not listening is just shut up. I mean, that's what I've done. And they know that I know a lot about politics, and they'll come and ask questions like, come the next election, well, who should I vote for? You know, a shopkeeper in the mini mall I'm in, he's like, hey, this guy's running for president. This is a kick, you know. We started having a conversation, and he's been learning through Facebook and other things. But the best thing is walk away, and when they see, you know, a political, if they don't want to vote, they don't even care, we're wasting our time. It's the pain of life that will cause them, because the economy is going to get worse and worse. When the pain of life causes a precipice of change, that's when we're going to have our opportunities.
Yeah, that's very well said. Yeah, they're going to have to, but it's unfortunate that's going to have to come to such dire means or, you know, in dire straits for people to actually be like, oh, my gosh, well, because, you know, when you get to that point and you get to that precipice that you're talking about, it's almost too late. I mean, when you get to that point, you get to that edge, it's almost too late, and you got so much weight point, you know, pushing you towards the edge that it's going to be very difficult to keep them falling off of it. You know, and unfortunately, for whatever reason, that's where, you know, I'm concerned that we're going to find ourselves. I mean, because, you know, 30 years doesn't seem, I mean, sometimes seems like a long time, sometimes it doesn't, but it just amazes me, just that amount of time, how much different, at least for me, you know, things are. So, and that, you know, it's important for people to do it now, and then they do think, oh, these guys are kooks or conspiracy, you know, as you said, Neil, conspiracy theorists or something of that nature. And I normally don't subscribe to be one of those, as I said. But the more evidence that keeps coming out, you know, and improving itself, I just hope it doesn't have to be so overwhelming before people actually start to take notice and think, maybe this is something that's a possibility. Maybe this is something we need to really rally against before it's too late, where they have, you know, so much power that it's concentrated in so little hands that even if we do get together en masse, it's not going to matter because we're going to have so much power over us anyway that we'll be ineffective.
Yes, well, we got to do what we got to do. So, I think we need to, become educators, whatever process that works, you know, that's what we need to be after. And we're not on a solid footing right now. I mean, it's dangerous where we're at. So you guys hang in there. Hope I get to talk to you again maybe one of these days before too long. Thank you, Kelly, for letting me ramble on. And Robert, keep the faith. Yo, guys, hang in there. I'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much, Neil, for coming to the show. And, of course, you're always welcome back. We really enjoyed having you on. And so what I'll do is I'll go ahead and get things ready to close out. I want to thank you, Kelly, for the show as well as one of our panels. So definitely, folks, check out his website at www.hiddenforcebranch.com and check out the book of the same name there on Amazon. Check it out. And you can also find Kelly on Facebook as well as myself. And also, we do have a Barge Logic Political Talk page on Facebook, so check that out. Just go to your search engine and type in Barge Logic Political Talk, as well as the Barge Logic Political Talk website at www.bargelogicpoliticaltalk.com. And, of course, also, folks, check out the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And please join us next week where we will have Crystal Barger and her organization coming on to talk about their ministry and what they're doing for their daughter. And so we'll talk about that more next week. or on next week when she's here. And, you know, it's for the Kelsey Ray Foundation. So we're looking forward to that. And please join us next Wednesday, the 12th, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And so we'll also be talking about a way next week also where you can send and you could send Girl Scout cookies. It's that time of the year again, folks. We all know that. To the military by donating them, and I'll show you a way to do that through Bard's Logic Political Talk. And so we'll end it there, and we look forward to having you back on. So thank you once again, everyone, whether you listen to the show live or if you listen to the show here on the archive. And please share the link. Download the show. You can download it to your cell phones. You can download it to a CD for people to listen to later in their cars. You can email the link, share it to everyone you know, because as you hear here, this is important information that needs to get out to everyone, especially those concerned with America and the grassroots. So I will end the night as I do every night here on Bard's Logic, and that is with the song from Aubrey Ashburn. And you can hear more of her music by going to www.aubreyashburn.com. So see you next week. Take care and good night.